So I was thinking I would like to have Abraham with me the next time I go buy a car. You know that he's working the Lord down, right? He's working him down. It's a very Semitic conversation, this business of seeming to work God down to what God, of course, already had in his mind, but it's a delight to see it, and particularly in a weekend when we're focused on prayer, as well as the gift of the Holy Spirit and confirmation. But I think you could say that that conversation between Abraham and God teaches us much about prayer, this familiarity, this willingness to debate with God, to sort of cajole God. You don't usually think of cajoling God. But Abraham has such a relationship with God, such an intimacy and a familiarity with God, such a lack of fear that God would be offended by Abraham or would in any way punish Abraham, though he says, please forgive me and pardon me and all of that. That's polite talk. He does not expect God to do anything but what God does to show his mercy. Abraham asks him and God responds and gives him what he asks. The other lesson, I think, about prayer is the one about Jesus himself. The apostles ask him to teach them how to pray. Why? Because they've seen him praying. They have seen him wrapped in prayer, wrapped in union with his Father, and it was so attractive. What they saw in the Lord and in his relationship with the Father was so deep and rich and beautiful that they were drawn to it, and they wanted to know, how do we have that relationship with God too? They're not asking him for tricks on how to get things out of God, right? How can we get more out of him? How do we ask in such a way that we can get more out of him? God is not a genie in a bottle, right? They're asking him because they want to be that close to God themselves. Think about this. Why does Jesus bother to pray at all? Does Jesus need anything? Don't we typically think of one of the main reasons we pray is for some need that we have or people that we know have. But Jesus doesn't need anything. Why does he pray? And he spends long hours in prayer, whole nights in prayer, for the union, for the simple pleasure of being close to God, of being united with God in those moments. And this is for us. The reason why Jesus says he's going to give them the Holy Spirit as an answer to their prayer is because when he gives us the Spirit, he gives us everything. If you could ask Jesus for a list of 1,000 things, right? What would you put on your list of 1,000 things? That would be a fun thing to do on a weekend when it was rainy and cold or something. And you couldn't go outside. Sit down and write a list of the top 1,000 things you'd like to ask for, right? Whatever would be on the list would be less than the Holy Spirit. Right? Is that not true? If you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything. And you have everything you need to have this intimacy with God. And the one thing that we should strive for in this life is intimacy. Is this close and joy-filled relationship with God who loves us so much that this is what he wants. I think we don't always believe that. Jesus thought that we didn't believe it either. That's why he uses those examples. Which one of you who are evil, did you catch that little piece, right? You who are wicked, if even you who are wicked wouldn't do this to your own children, wouldn't give them a scorpion in place of an egg or a snake in place of a fish, if you people who are wicked, which is wonderful, that's fun, right? He's not literally saying that. He's not being mean to us. He's sort of joking with us a little bit, right? If you who are wicked wouldn't even do this, how much less would God the Father do this? We have to believe that. Our prayer will immediately become better if we will accept Jesus at His word that God loves us and desires to hear from us, desires to spend time with us. God, who created everything from nothing, who has the whole world in His hand, desires to spend moments with us if we will give them to Him. That's what prayer is for. And its results are clear in the lives of the saints. We see that. And we see that in Stanley Rother, who certainly must have prayed. When he came home from Guatemala those months before he died, when he came home to Orkarchi because the people in his parish told him that they did not want to see him be killed, and they knew that he was on the hit list to be killed, and they told him, "We want you to go home." They loved him. They didn't want to lose him, but they didn't want him to be killed. So he came home. I think he was probably feeling a little bit confused, a little bit torn. What's the right thing to do here? But after being home a short time, it became clear to him from the experience of it that he would not be able to live with himself knowing that the people he was serving, the people who were his flock, were facing death squads by themselves while he was home safe and sound in Okarchi, Oklahoma. And how much prayer must have gone into the decision to return, knowing that it was likely that he would be killed. It wasn't certain, but it was a pretty safe bet. And yet he went home. How much of the Holy Spirit, right, we're going to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to these young people so that they can be filled with His gifts, gifts of wisdom, for example, gifts of fortitude. How much of the gift of fortitude did Stanley Rother need to return to Guatemala and to hope that he might not be killed, even though he might? Would we do it? How many of us would sign up for that trip, right? We'll go on a pilgrimage down there, because it's relatively safe now. But during those days, I don't think many of us would have signed up for that. But Stanley did because he was filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this morning we want to share that gift with these young people, and as we do so, we want to be reminded ourselves that we have received this gift already. That in the Holy Spirit we have everything that we need to be as intimate with God as Jesus was Himself. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to make us the intimate friends of God.